Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and today we are talking with Dr. Corey Carbonera and Dr. Michael Corpy, professors of film and digital media at Baylor. Longtime educators and innovators, they each joined the Baylor faculty in the early 1980s and have bolstered Baylor Film and Digital Media into a nationally renowned program. Both have been honored with prestigious Excellence in Education medals from the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers. Carbonera and Corpy further advanced their industry through leadership in a number of areas, most recently in 6P Color Ink, a new color imaging system with the capacity to dramatically impact visual storytelling by increasing the range and number of colors displayed on digital screens. 6P was unveiled earlier this month at an event that included representatives from NASA, SMPTE, Pixar, Gearbox Software, and more. And it's been a busy month for you guys, a busy stretch here over the last 3 years that we're going to spend some time talking to you about today. So Dr. Corpy, Dr. Carbonera, thanks so much for joining us on Baylor Connections today.
Glad to be here.
Great to have you here.
Great to be here.
I'll just point out two of my former professors, so it's fun to have you here as someone who spent a lot of time in the Castelaw building and, of course, neighbors when KWBU was there as well over the years. So great to have you on the show, and it's been exciting to hear about the growth of 6P that we're going to talk about. So I know for you guys it's been quite a journey over the last 3 years. Just to set the stage, 36 months or so ago, could you have envisioned that we'd be talking about something like this now, or that so much would have happened over these last 3 years or so?
Well, I'll go first and just say no. that this has been an amazing situation to have developed and brought to our attention, and to see the response of Baylor, you know, in terms of this particular project has been just astounding.
And Dr. Corpy, you guys have been involved in a lot of these things before. What stands out to you about the opportunity to be at something that could really change the way color is displayed on screens?
The core idea was, you know, really attractive. And so at first we thought, okay, this is interesting. We want to work on this because this is interesting. And as you know, we have a track record of doing that with a whole list of technologies. What's different about this is that Baylor jumped in so quickly to participate, to enable this, to provide resources and an impetus behind it that we'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest surprise and a blessing.
So let's talk about what this is, and I want to have you all give people a little bit of background, as maybe if we're in an intro FDM class. But as we talk about what this is, what is the maybe 30-second elevator pitch for when we talk about 6P, what this is?
Sure. 6P is a color system, a color space, a way of reproducing color for a display. Traditionally, that's been done just with red, green, and blue as the main colors on your television set. That's all you have, is red, green, and blue pixels. The combination of those gives you the appearance of realistic color scenes. This is an extension of that. With more than just red, green, and blue, we can give you more colors, more accurate colors.
Mm-hmm. The colors between the colors. Dr. Carbonera, yeah. You've used the example of you have more crayons at your disposal, if you will.
You've got more crayons in the box. You know, certainly the idea of using red, green, and blue to create a lot of the colors has been with us since the dawn of imaging for either film and then later, you know, for television. But the interesting part about this is that there are a lot more colors that get to be unfolded, if you will, with having three more additional primaries. You know, the primaries that Michael just talked about were red, green, and blue, but then cyan, yellow, and magenta become the first set, if you will, of colors in between those colors that are created. And so the volume of color capability becomes increased greatly.
Now, you will give some examples from you've got friends at NASA and other places who are participating in this and describing things, but a colleague of mine, when reading the story the other day, said that one of his favorite places in the world is Crater Lake in Oregon. He says it's the deepest, richest blues, shades of blue he's ever seen, but the pictures never, ever do it justice. He'll take pictures, come home, and be disappointed. What you're doing, I guess, would allow those variations of blue to be more vivid on a digital screen.
Absolutely. You know, if you think about it in terms of the triangle, right, of red, green, and blue, what we're doing and enabling with this idea of having, again, multiple colors beyond those three original ones, is that we open up space that normally wasn't utilized by an imaging system. So by opening up the space, you have more capability for greater blue, more shades of blue, more depth of the blue area or the green area or the cyan that could be embedded in that blue in that lake, which would be very difficult normally to see just with three primaries. But you open it up for three more at least, all of a sudden it gets to be pretty interesting. You get to see more. Even one additional color, cyan, for example, would probably open up a lot more vista and opportunity to see the colors that this person saw in Oregon in that lake.
Visiting with Dr. Corey Carbonera and Dr. Michael Corpy. And Dr. Corpy, as we talk about things like primaries, RGB, could you give us a little bit of a 101 for if someone's looking at their phone screen right now or a digital TV screen? There's a lot of, you know, a lot of activity behind the scenes that we never think about for the most part. So could you help us understand what that primary means and a little bit about how opening it up gives us the ability to see those additional colors?
Sure. So red, green, and blue as primaries. First, let me explain why those make sense. We see a range of colors. I mean, so God created our human visual system to see a particular range or color space, a collection of colors. We have three different types of cones or color-sensitive cells in our eyes. They are sensitive to short wavelength visible light, medium wavelength visible light, and longer wavelength. Those are roughly equivalent to blue, green, and red. Okay, so it makes sense to pick three primaries that match the sensitivities of the cells in your eye when you're first going to create a color reproduction system, whether it's film or whether it's electronic for television. That's the most straightforward, simple way to do it. So at the beginning of visual media that used color in that way, photographic or electronic, that was the approach. And with three primaries and combinations of those, you can recreate any color that's within the triangle defined by those colors on that color space that God created for us that we can see, okay? But you're limited to just the colors that are within that triangle, okay? Now, you could pick any three primaries anywhere else. It could be, you could pick any other three, and you'd be able to recreate colors within that triangle. But RGB makes sense because it's the closest match to what the sensitivities of your eye are. But it leaves out a lot of color space, as Dr. Carbonera just said.
You've showed us showed images of the color gamut. If people have seen the color gamut that shows the range of colors you can see, the RGB is a triangle in the midst of all that. But almost like looking at a map, if you draw a triangle in the center of the map, there's a lot of space on the external area that you either can't go to, or in the case of the color gamut, can't see.
That's absolutely right. It's roughly the shape of a fingernail. I mean, I like to think of it like a pegboard. You've got a rectangular pegboard. I've got three pegs, and I can then wrap string around that or stretch a rubber band out about around that triangle. Well, there's only so big I can make that triangle within the rectangular pegboard. But if I can add a fourth peg, then I can make a rectangle, and I can match that whole area if I need to. Now, like I said, the color space is shaped kind of like a fingernail. So it's rounded on one end, it's flat on the other end, it has angled sides. A triangle is a pretty good shape to start with, but it won't cover everything. So if we add a fourth primary, a fifth, or a sixth, or even more, the more of those we add, the more of that complete color space that God created, we can recreate.
Dr. Carbonaire, what he's describing, people, it's an idea I know people have thought about for a while, but mm-hmm. no one's been able to really get there. What is it about 6P and this approach that's different? And if you'd also just give us a little bit of a history of that, because I know some longstanding relationships that you both have had through Baylor FDM and Sony and other places have helped lead to this.
Well, let's start with the relationships, and then I'll answer that other question that you had. So part of our history is the fact that we had been involved in research with regards to high-definition television, for example, in the earliest of stages. You know, I always give Dr. Corpy the credit for this. When I first joined Baylor, we had an idea to make a mark for the film and digital media division, which is called today. But we knew that in order to make that mark, it's very difficult when you're in Waco, Texas, back in the 80s, and you're trying to compete with NYU, and you're trying to compete with UCLA and USC and all the other name brands, right? But one of the ideas that he had, and I wholeheartedly agreed, was that we could take a look at creating a level playing field. And the way to do that is with new technologies, cutting-edge technologies, to be exact. We both had enough knowledge of film and television to really be able to add to the conversation. And so one of the interesting things is that straight off, we became a chapter of the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers. Once we did that, then that allowed us to actually get involved in the committees that would, you know, form with regards to this new technology called high definition back in the early 80s. Well, the reason why I mentioned that is because out of that, I was actually tapped to become the first product manager of high definition television for Sony as it was unveiling the high definition system. At the same time I started, a man by the name of Gary Mandel started at the very same year, very same time. And our relationship began, you know, with regards to us both being at Sony. Well, he stayed at Sony the whole time, and I, you know, left after a couple of years and came back to work with Dr. Corpy back at Baylor. I missed Baylor. You know, I cut myself one day, and all of a sudden I was, you know, my blood was green instead of red. I said, oh, that's a sign.
We're glad you're here, yeah.
But the interesting thing is we get a phone call. Well, actually, it started with the text, and then it was followed up with a phone call from Gary Mandel. Had an idea about rethinking the way in which color was managed and the way that color was processed. And this idea of increasing the number of primaries was very attractive, as Dr. Corpy mentioned. So that's how we got to the project, because Gary Mandel had some ideas. And then we took those ideas, added to those ideas, and all of a sudden now we're looking at 6P. Now, going back, really, I think, to your first question, and again, remind me again, I want to make sure I get all of it. So your first question was about the...
Yeah, when he came to you with this idea, yeah. Gary Mandel, what, you know, people have tried this before.
Right.
Dr. Corp, you've said before,
right.
It's never really gone anywhere. Mm-hmm. What was it about this that made you think, you know what, there's something here?
Great. And thank you for reminding me. So the interesting part about this is that there was an elegance to the design of introducing three more primaries that allowed for a very simple approach of being able to be backwards compatible with a lot of what the system flow was today. So it wasn't a situation where you had to reinvent all of the pipes, for example, of sending the signals and reinventing all of the different cameras that were out there. You know, it was very, very elegant because it was backwards compatible and the complexity was not that high, especially since he had thought of three different systems to start with. And those three different systems, the third one is what we really helped him the most with when he started to work with Baylor, allowed us to do a demonstration, which we were able to show 2 weeks ago here at Baylor, of the system three, or the third system that was developed. And again, you know, its attractiveness is that it shows a relative advantage over the other attempts to try to provide color. It was a full system end-to-end approach, which meant it could take camera signals, process those camera signals in a unique way, flow them through the existing pipe, and allow them to come out the other side with the capability of at least showing you the difference, the colors in between the colors, for example. It's only a demonstration that we were doing. You know, we're not in the business of trying to manufacture or create a brand new display ourselves. But the fact that we have this approach is so unique. Another key thing about it is the fact that Michael talked about the pegs. I usually use the analogy of poles. The interesting thing is that as we're building, let's say, a tent, which you can do with a pup tent, you know, a teepee or something that looks like a triangle, all of a sudden you can have a better tent size. If you start to look at things like a wedding, you're going to have more poles to support that, and the shape is going to look a lot different than a triangle. One of the unique things about how this has evolved to the current day is that it also now moves from just being a pole that would be very thin, for example, to a pillar, to have more width, if you will, for support of many, many more colors that will be easier for people to distinguish as the colors between the colors come onto the scene.
Visiting with Dr. Corey Carbonara and Dr. Michael Corpy. And Dr. Corpy, one thing that in visiting with some of your partners in this, Jim DeFilippis mentioned something that might be was helpful to me to think through and maybe other people as well. He mentioned that in the industry, and he's a longtime Fox executive, there's always been a glass-to-glass problem, as he put it. What you record through the glass in your camera isn't always what comes through the glass on the other end when I'm looking at my phone or TV. One thing that's key is the fact that cameras are actually saving more information than most of us realize. Could you take us inside that and how important that is to what you're able to work with and to hopefully developing it further?
Mm-hmm. That's one of the advantages that makes this possible for us to do now as a complete system. Prior to this, people have tried to do more than three primaries on a display, and they've made demonstration displays, and then they've had to come up with some way to create content to show that that's what it's actually doing, because there weren't cameras to do that and so on. But since we've had digital cinema cameras since the late 2000s, mid-2000s to late 2000s, and most films have been acquired, shot that way, those cameras capture colors outside of the red, green, blue triangle. Now, normally what happens with that is that the colorists, the people who determine the final adjustments of color for the movie, they just throw those colors away. They just ignore those. But they have been captured. So one of the things that is an opportunity for us to show that our system from glass to glass works is that there's already content that has additional colors that we can show on an experimental display. And our system is compatible with all the existing transport mechanisms, all the connections, all the wires, all the formats of the way you send the signal. So we're able to do this demo because here is source material that has additional colors, in our case, cyan for this thing we did 2 weeks ago. Footage of the Earth shot from the International Space Station. Obviously, lots of blues and cyans and things involved with our view of the big blue marble, you know. And we can send that signal to a display, and then we can show that those colors arrive there. So we have we don't just have the idea of, oh, let's have a display with more than three primaries. Let's show you the system all the way from the camera to the end screen. Now, the other part of that is the creative people who make those decisions about color at the front end, at the camera, those are the cinematographers. And they care a great deal. They make those choices very carefully. And so they care about whether those actually survive through the whole post-production process and through the delivery process to your display, and so that they look something like what they intended on your home television, on your iPad or your mobile phone or whatever other screen, motion picture screen. Those are, you know, very different technologies with different capabilities, but we want the movie to look like the movie, right? So that's one of the reasons the cinematographers are so involved in this is, one, it gives them more crayons to select from. You know, just because you have the big crayon box doesn't mean you use all the crayons. It just gives you a bigger range of choices of which particular ones to use. And then you want those to be able to go all the way through. You want a color process that maintains those creative choices all the way to the display. And that's key.
So. I know you've got a lot. You've got some patents on this, and I know there's some proprietary stuff that makes all that happen. What's that been like seeing that develop from, like you said, initially six, adding three primaries to now there's more?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's been quite an adventure. First of all, I thought the patent process always took a long time. So, you know, Gary Mandel says he has other patents, and his patents took 3 to 5 years each to go through the whole process. Our first patent application was then approved in 3 months. I'd never heard of that before.
Wow.
And we've been working on this coming up on 3 years now. And the total number of patents is going to approach one a month. The average is going to be like one a month. It's not there yet, but in the pipeline of things applied for and approved and not issued yet and so on. I think we have 7 currently that are issued. So that's been a wow. huge surprise. One, how fast that process worked, and two, how many things we built on the original idea.
Well, Dr. Carbonaire, part of that growth has been the formation of a company, 6P, a color ink, through Baylor's lab to market process. And, you know, lab to market, part of Baylor that helps translate research into actual products that can help people. You guys were the first company formed through that. I know there's 2 others since then. But what can you tell us about that process of working with lab to market and with the provost's office and other places around Baylor that have seemed to, you know, as Dr. Corpy described, really coalesced around this?
Yeah, it's been fantastic to see the climate now that's at Baylor, you know, with regards to accelerating research. And one of the catalysts to do that is lab to market. The lab to market then, which helped foster a group of investors that would be local and then outside of the Waco community to create a company surrounding what we were doing with our 6P Color project called 6P Color Ink was phenomenal. And it really was an accelerant to help us maintain the sponsored research that we need in order to have the tools and to have the funding necessary to put the effort into, you know, throw this into the development, you know, crucible, if you will, to provide that output that Mike talks about, which is astounding. I mean, when you look at, again, the average of about one patent per month, that is miraculous. You know, he talked about the blessing that this project has had, that everyone who looks at the output of what has happened in this short period of time says it's nothing short of miraculous. So what that means is that there is a blessing that has happened to us to have a climate within Baylor that fosters entrepreneurship. The idea of being able to have the commercialization output is very, very much integral to a university to have that tie to the needs of the world. I mean, not just the industry, but of the world. And bringing that outreach of Baylor to the world, which is part of its charter, right? Bringing that to the forefront to allow students then to have an opportunity to work on these cutting-edge projects that come from L2M, that come from Blueprints, which is another company that's part of this catalyst that I talk about, and then to see the opportunity for our students to even be working with 6P Color Ink, for example, on internships or other opportunities, just as providing them with the unique capability. One of the things that Dr. Corpy and I have always said is that the research that we do, we want to do with our students, both undergraduate and graduate, to see the excitement of our students getting a chance to see 6P unfold and to have them be a part of this. And they truly have been a part of it. They've been working with us in terms of learning how to color time, how to manipulate these colors, these new colors, the best way possible on the cutting edge development of working with not only 6P Color Ink, but our partners who we have that are in place to provide the actual mechanism so that we can demonstrate this. Well, our students are getting the incredible opportunity of being at the forefront of this. Just like we did with HDTV back in the day when we were the first university to be involved in having curricula surrounding HDTV. or looking at editing movies on the desktop, which is another kind of first that we've had. So this has been exciting for us, and it's been wonderful to see the climate within Baylor.
Absolutely. Well, as we wind down here, I think probably everyone wants to know what's next. You had the event with SMPTE Plus on June 3rd. You had, you know, SMPTE, American Society of Cinematographers, NASA, Pixar, representatives from any number of organizations that people would recognize. So you sort of introduce the concept to a lot of people. What happens next? I know it's a, you know, it's not as easy as you said. You're not creating screens, so it's not like we make this and we're done. So what happens from here?
Well, we're interested in this idea succeeding. To succeed, it has to be adopted. Someone has to use it. So one, we have a lot of work to do on just refining the system and making sure everything is operating as we want it to. And two, we need to be selective on what kind of things happen next in terms of which displays, what kind of displays this that we reach out to. So for example, large screen, like billboard type screens and advertising screens in Times Square, that sort of thing. That's a niche market that we think is an early target for multiple primaries. Advertisers care very much about their brand, the look of their brand, how their brand is presented, what the colors are exactly. Are they, does the ad grab attention? Certain colors, like cyan, excite the brain, draw people's attention, hold their attention better than other colors. So the fourth primary we added is cyan, first of all, just because there's more area in the color space to gain there, and secondarily, because we know the psychological, the mm-hmm. perceptual characteristics of that are positive, draws people's attention. So advertising is possible. Anyone who cares about incredibly accurate color, not just creatives, but say doctors doing remote telemedicine, reconnaissance of any kind, oceanography. There are all sorts of applications beyond the entertainment space.
Well, and to wind down, you know, I thought, you know, I gave the example of a colleague who mentioned Crater Lake, but I think an even better example of Dr. Carbonera is a Baylor alum, works at NASA. He was a part of the SMPTE Plus event, Dylan Mathis, but NASA is involved in this research as well, in an umbrella agreement you have. What is it? What's the example, Dr. Carbonera, that they use that I think kind of ties it all up for everyone?
Well, you know, one of the things that they say when they talk to the astronauts who come back after being in space for a long period of time, astronauts lament on the fact that they can't really see the same colors being reproduced when they see them on a television set or on, you know, any display, right? And they lament that they don't have the capability of really seeing the same colors that they see up in space. So for them, I think there's a lot of interest in being able to see what difference additional primaries can really make. Now, because of COVID, we have not had an astronaut here to even look at our demonstration. We look forward to that opportunity to see, you know, is this something that's closer to what it is that you lament, right, by not being able to see it. But I think the other thing, too, and Dr. Corby mentioned it, is the fact that you have scientific exploration that continues and space exploration, which means that we're returning to the moon, Project Artemis, for example. So we feel incredibly blessed that we have a Space Act agreement, you know, with the potential and the opportunity to have NASA look very carefully at our 6P system and to provide us with unique images that allow us to continue to work with those images. And we already, with just one additional color, cyan, have seen things that are different in our cyan plus RGB projection system versus just the RGB alone. So I think they're very excited to be able to come up and see this themselves, and we're excited to have them.
So storytelling, research, medicine, and a lot more. And it's just cool, too. So very exciting. Well, I really appreciate you both coming on today and sharing about this. It's exciting to see it launch and get out there. We're excited to see it develop in the years ahead. So Dr. Corpy, Dr. Carbonaire, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Derek.
Great to be here.
Thank you. Dr. Corey Carbonaire and Dr. Michael Corpy, professors of film and digital media at Baylor, our guests today here on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online at baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe to the program on iTunes. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.